Something about Naomi was comforting and attractive. Something about her life and her people made them want to leave their people. And I just want to throw out there to you guys, if you have had an experience like that where, you know, listen, when I changed my ways in college, I had to leave my party people and move to her people, Coalition for Christian Outreach, Campus Crusade for Christ. Those were not the people I was going out with on Friday night. Study with Friends is a Bible study community created to deepen your relationship with God through His Word, the Bible. If you miss any part of this program, or if you want to hear it again, you can download the podcast on iTunes or listen online at studywithfriends.org, where you'll also find listening guides and worksheets you can download to follow along, and sometimes bonus material we don't have time to air on the broadcast. That's studywithfriends.org. This week, we start a new series called Making Bold Decisions by Faith, Lessons from Ruth and Rahab. These women have so much to teach us. Let's get right to it. God, we thank you for this time, for your word, and for the examples of women who have come before us in the faith. I thank you, Lord, for these women around the table whom I love and who love you. And I just ask that you bless this time and be in it. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so quick introductions. I'm Holly. Everybody already knows me too well. So Romy, you go ahead and tell us a little bit about you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Romy. I have been married for 21 years. I have a 15-year-old daughter and a 17-year-old son. I have been a believer my whole life, grown up in the Catholic Church, and then in the last 5-6 years have become much closer to understanding God's word, and faith has grown tremendously in these last 5 years.
Thanks. Okay. Shay?
Hi, everybody. I'm Shay, married to my husband, Tom, for almost 19 years. We have 3 kids, 16, 14, and 9. I became a believer when I was about 5 years old, but my faith roots weren't real deep, and it was in my mid-20s when I came back to the Lord when I started raising my kids.
Thank you. Hi, Andrea.
Hi. I'm Andrea. I've been married to my husband, Mike, now for 5 years, and we have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old boy. I grew up in the Catholic Church and got away from everything pretty much for many, many years. And just within the past, I would say probably about 2 years, I just kind of got back to it. I actually just got my first real Bible, my big adult Bible. And so it's all very new to me, but it's been a pretty cool journey.
Yeah, I love that. Okay. Today's lesson is called Making Bold Decisions by Faith, Lessons from Ruth and Rahab. So obviously we're going to be very much in Joshua and Ruth. What's great about this particular session is we're going to be really reading a lot of scripture. There's entire chapters that we're going to read, which is, I think, great. I love that. There's plenty of women in the Bible who have showed bravery and loyalty and great faith. And we're just going to talk about two today and the parallels between them and then the parallels and how their faith walk can apply to our own. So by way of introduction, that's what we're off to this morning. We'll just start with Ruth chapter 1. Romy has that. She's going to read the whole chapter.
In the days when the judges governed, there was a famine in the land of Canaan. And a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live temporarily in the country of Moab, and his wife and his 2 sons. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi, and his 2 sons were named Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went to the country of Moab and stayed there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her 2 sons. They took wives from the Moabite women. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. They lived there about 10 years. And then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so the woman, Naomi, was left without her 2 sons and her husband. Then she set out with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in Moab how the Lord had taken care of his people of Judah in giving them food. So she left the place where she was living, her 2 daughters-in-law, with her, and they started on the way back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her 2 daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, return to your mother's house. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown kindness to the dead and to me. May the Lord grant that you find rest, each one in the home of her husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud. And they said to her, "No, we will go with you to your people in Judah." But Naomi said, "Go back, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that may become your husbands? Go back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I said I have hope, and if I actually had a husband tonight and even gave birth to sons, would you wait until they were grown? Would you go without marrying? No, my daughters, for it is much more difficult for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone against me." Then they wept aloud again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, and Ruth clung to her. Then Naomi said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Turn back and follow your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not argue me to leave you or to turn back from following you. For where I go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do the same to me as he has done to you, and more also, if anything but death separates me from you." When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole city was stirred because of them, and the woman asked, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has caused great grief and bitterness. I left full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned from the country of Moab, and with her Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, and they arrived in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Now Naomi had a relative.
Just one.
Oh,
just read
sorry.
One.
Yep.
No, I love, first of all, you're awesome at reading. It was like
really
very soothing to my ears. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. It gave me a nice opportunity just to listen to somebody else read the scripture. So thank you for that. And I'm sorry I had to yell at you.
No, I was so into it. I just wanted
to keep going. But I want to unpack a little bit of chapter one first. And then I think Andrea has chapter two. Tell me what do you think is a good summary of the first chapter? Who are the main characters?
Naomi, her daughter-in-laws.
Yep.
Her husband died.
Yep.
Her sons died.
Which is very tragic. All three of the guys died. And then what happened?
She was going back to her country. She had nothing left.
Does anything stick out as unusual in that first chapter?
Do the daughter-in-laws normally go back with their mother-in-law, or do they normally stay with their families?
I'm really glad you asked that question. Because they were Moabites, which means they were from Moab. And Naomi is an Israelite, which means they're from a different country. So think of, God forbid, something happens and, you know, you go home to mom. That's kind of the idea. We're breaking up now. I'm going back to my people. You're going back to your people because I need my people. That's kind of the idea. And furthermore, women were not allowed to own property. They would have been relegated to be beggars. They couldn't own any property, none of the family property. So whatever the property they had reverts to the next male relative. So they were really in a bad situation. Okay, so it's a great question. Thank you for asking it. Are there any other comments about chapter one that you want to make? Okay. I want to look real quickly at 1:16 again, because I think it's a good foreshadowing, and I think it's good for us to relate in our current day what this might look like. So I'm going to read. Actually, Romy, you read it with your velvety voice.
Be happy to, Holly. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people and your God, my God."
Okay. What we don't get, unfortunately, in so many stories of the Bible, is the peripheral information, like Jesus' entire childhood. We get a sketch. He grew in stature and in favor. But wouldn't you love the details? Right? Mm-hmm. So here's another good example. And I want to lift this scripture up. Let's think about if you weren't raised in the faith, or even if you were raised in the faith, a time when you looked at someone or looked at an experience or looked at a situation, you were like, I want that. That experience with God, that experience with Jesus, I want that. For me, I prayed the salvation prayer when I was 13. I began my journey with with Jesus Christ, but I wasn't plugged in. And so I fell away. And in college, I had a very solid Christian roommate my freshman year. You know, when you get tossed in with like a stranger, that was my stranger, go figure. But halfway through my first year, I looked at her and realized that as much as I thought those things were going to be fun, I was not having a good time. I wasn't feeling good about myself. I felt empty. And I remember having that experience like, oh, she's doing it different. There's something different. And it's a similar experience to what I'm conjecturing Ruth had with Naomi. So we can pencil sketch, because it's not clear in scripture, but we can pencil sketch that there's a reason these girls wanted to go with their mother-in-law. Something about Naomi was comforting and attractive. Something about her life and her people made them want to leave their people. And I just want to throw out there to you guys, if you have had an experience like that where, you know, listen, when I changed my ways in college, I had to leave my party people and move to her people, Coalition for Christian Outreach, Campus Crusade for Christ. Those were not the people I was going out with on Friday night up until that time. You understand what I'm saying? So similar experience. I sort of left my people and went with her people because I saw something in her that I wanted in my life. I think we can extrapolate that. Do you think I'm reaching too far? You can't shake your head. The people Sorry. Can't hear you.
I can kind of relate on a different level. I have always felt that I had a connection with God and with Jesus my whole life, but I never really felt like I knew him. And I knew people that had something that I didn't. I felt like I was missing something, where I would say to myself, there's got to be more to this than I am getting right now. And people seem to really, you know, and I specifically think of my own family and my sister-in-law and her husband. And I knew I wanted that. I wanted, and I knew it's because I didn't know God's word. I didn't know enough about who God was. And it wasn't until I really started diving into God's word that I really start feeling that connection and that relationship. Mm-hmm. I felt like I had a relationship, but I always felt like there's got to be more to this than I'm seeing right now. And I think that was the answer for me, where I would hear all these people that would say, I got saved on this day and this was my salvation moment. And I never really had a salvation moment, and I never really felt like this is the day I was saved, because I felt like I had a relationship all along. For me, it was more, I wanted something deeper.
Deepening.
And I didn't know what I was missing until I really dove into his word and got to know who God was.
What I'm hearing is that your part, if not the beginning of that deepening of your journey, came by seeing someone doing it differently.
Exactly.
Okay, good. Anybody else?
Probably with me recently, very recently actually. You know, like you, Holly, I went down the wrong path for a while, and I thought I was pretty much doing the right thing then. You know, I started to have my family, and I had settled down, and I was a wife, and things were good. But there was still, I still had like a lonely feeling, especially when we moved up to this area, which was a couple years ago, and I was trying to connect with people, and I was really putting myself out there. It was almost like I was like internet dating for friends. It was very kind of a very awkward part of my life, but it was hard. And it was, like I said, it was just very lonely and something was missing. And I actually got plugged into my mops group. That's how I met Holly. And I started to meet different kinds of people than who I was hanging out with. I wasn't trying to achieve anything. I even went into the group with like, I'm not looking to be converted. You know, I went into it like with my back up against the wall, kind of like, don't hand out Bibles to me. You know, don't freak me out here. I'm going to take a step back if you do. And instead, I was starting to be surrounded by people that just had this genuine love about them. And they just wanted to give because it was the right thing to do and not because they were trying to get something back in return or because they thought that then something else was going to happen to them. Or it was just starting to see how other people were living their lives and they were doing it for the right reasons. It made me want to learn more for myself. Mm-hmm. And that kind of, so there's been a few women down this journey of mine that have been a true inspiration, that I've seen them and said, I want what they have. I want this faith that they have. And it's just, this comforting feeling that always they seemed to just know that things were going to be okay. And I was like, I want to feel that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's similar, I guess.
Thank you so much. Let that be a cautionary tale as we draw people in to our faith, not to hand them a Bible, but hand them just some love and live the way God called you to live, and people will be interested. Okay, Shay, you have anything on that?
I think I can kind of dovetail with what Andrea said about looking for that Christian community, that I had asked Jesus to be my savior when I was 5, but by the time I was into my 20s, I didn't know really what that looked like. Mm-hmm. And we had church shopped a bit growing up. My parents were really solid believers, and they encouraged us to read the Bible and to follow the Lord. But I think somehow, to me, that translated into all the rules rather than the relationship. So mm-hmm. I totally understand that. You know, what Ruth was looking for, maybe she didn't even know, but I knew at the time I was desperate for Christian community. That's how I ended up at the wrong school, was because I thought, oh, I'm going to go to college with all these Christians because it's a Christian school. And I was wrong. It was a denominational school. It wasn't a mm-hmm. Christian school. And it took a long time to come back from that. But that's what I was searching for, was that Christian community, that they had something that I very much wanted, but didn't. I don't think I knew that's what I was looking for.
That's great. Okay, I'm glad we all had something we can share about that, because I think it's important as we walk through these old, old stories, it's really easy to think there's nothing in there that I can relate to. I mean, we're going to talk about Ruth laying down on the threshing floor. Like, what? Okay. So I think it's important that as we walk through this, we relate and remind ourselves everything in the Bible is in there for a reason for us to apply to our lives right now. So I don't know. We'll figure out how the threshing floor applies. I don't know if we'll do that. Okay, so now we're going to read Ruth chapter 2. Andrea, would you read that for us, please?
Ruth chapter 2, Ruth works in Boaz's field. Now there was a wealthy and influential man in Bethlehem named Boaz, who was a relative of Naomi's husband, Elimelech. One day, Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go out into the harvest fields to pick up the stalks of grain left behind by anyone who is kind enough to let me do it." Naomi replied, "All right, my daughter, go ahead." So Ruth went out to gather grain behind the harvesters. And as it happened, she found herself working in a field that belonged to Boaz, the relative of her father-in-law, Elimelech. While she was there, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you," he said. "The Lord bless you," the harvesters replied. Then Boaz asked the foreman, "Who is that young woman over there? Who does she belong to?" And the foreman replied, "She is the young woman from Moab who came back with Naomi. She asked me this morning if she could gather grain behind the harvesters. She has been hard at work ever since, except for a few minutes' rest in the shelter." Boaz went over and said to Ruth, "Listen, my daughter, stay right here with us when you gather grain. Don't go to any other fields. Stay right behind the young women working in my field. See which part of the field they are harvesting, and then follow them. I have warned the young men not to treat you roughly, and when you are thirsty, help yourself to the water they have drawn from the well." Ruth fell at his feet and thanked him warmly. "What have I done to deserve such kindness?" she asked. "I am only a foreigner." "Yes, I know," Boaz replied, "but I also know about everything you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I have heard how you left your father and mother and your own land to live here among complete strangers. May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you have done." "I hope I continue to please you, sir," she replied. "You have comforted me by speaking so kindly to me, even though I am not one of your workers." At mealtime, Boaz called to her, "Come over here and help yourself to some food. You can dip your bread in the sour wine." So she sat with the harvesters, and Boaz gave her some roasted grain to eat. She ate all she wanted, and she still had some left over. When Ruth went back to work again, Boaz ordered his young men, "Let her gather grain right among the sheaves without stopping her, and pull out some heads of barley from the bundles and drop them on purpose for her. Let her pick them up and don't give her a hard time." So Ruth gathered barley there all day, and when she beat out the grain that evening, it filled an entire basket. She carried it back into town and showed it to her mother-in-law. Ruth also gave her the roasted grain that was left over from her meal. "Where did you gather all this grain today?" Naomi asked. "Where did you work? May the Lord bless the one who helped you." So Ruth told her mother-in-law about the man in whose field she had worked. She said, "The man I worked with today is named Boaz. May the Lord bless him," Naomi told her daughter-in-law. "He is showing his kindness to us as well as your dead husband. That man is one of our closest relatives, one of our family redeemers." Then Ruth said, "What's more, Boaz even told me to come back and stay with his harvesters until the entire harvest is completed." "Good," Naomi exclaimed. "Do as he said, my daughter. Stay with his young women right through the whole harvest. You might be harassed in other fields, but you'll be safe with him." So Ruth worked alongside the women in Boaz's field and gathered grains with them until the end of the barley harvest. Then she continued working with them through the wheat harvest and in early summer. And all the while she lived with her mother-in-law.
You had a good voice too. Who is the new player in the story from this chapter?
Boaz.
Yep. And what is the significance of Boaz?
He's the kinsman redeemer.
Yes. We're going to talk about what that means. What does that mean?
Good question.
Okay. So I'm going to read you my NIV notes, lest you think this is my own intelligence speaking. "A kinsman redeemer nearer than I." This is from verse 3:12. "How Boaz was related to Ruth's former husband, Mahlon, is unknown. But the closest male relative had the primary responsibility to marry a widow. Naomi instructed Ruth to approach Boaz because he had already shown himself willing to be Ruth's protector. Boaz, however, would not bypass the directives of the law, which clearly gave priority to the nearest relative." So let me explain to you. We're not going to read chapter 3, although I strongly recommend reading the entire chapter of the entire book of Ruth. We're going to skip through 3 and 4 now. So in chapter 3, before I do that, let me lift up one thing. Can you read again chapter 2, verse 3?
"So Ruth went out to gather grain behind the harvesters. And as it happened, she found herself working in a field that belonged to Boaz, the relative of her father-in-law, Elimelech."
Okay. You know what I want to lift up. Say it.
Oh, it's such a coincidence.
Yes, that's exactly right. As it happened, it just so happened. Mine says, as it turned out. Obviously, once we pull together this whole Ruth story and how thousands years long it is, you're going to see it's not like as it happened. Mm-hmm. She just wandered into that. This is really divine providence. And I think anytime in a believer's life, something just so happened to work out. Like, I just happened to get a Christian roommate in college and you just happened to find a mop screw. You know what I mean? Like, it just so happened that I just wanted to lift that up. And then we can skip forward to verse 19 with Naomi's reaction, because Ruth went into Boaz's field. And when Naomi found out Ruth had happened into Boaz's field, she was freaking out. She was like, "That's so awesome, because he's our relative." So what we see here is two things. First of all, that Naomi says this now means that Ruth didn't know he was her kinsman redeemer when he went into her field, which I think is key. Once Naomi realizes that Ruth has wandered into Boaz's field and that Boaz has shown great kindness, which, by the way, don't you just love him for a minute?
Yeah.
"And don't give her a hard time," he said to his people. I mean, Boaz is the boss, so his harvesters would have been many. And he's making sure that they all know, leave a little extra for her and don't give her a hard time. And you can do with that as you see fit. I mean, you know, there's always people who give money to the homeless guy who's on the bench, and then there's people who give him a hard time, right? Similar situation. Don't give her a hard time. And we're just going to fall in love with Boaz through this entire experience, but this is the beginning of us loving on him a little bit. He's just so sweet to her. He's so sweet to her. Okay. And he has heard of her noble character, which I think is worth lifting out also. The rumor has already come around the camp and the community that this young lady came back with her mother-in-law, which would have been unusual. We just talked about that a little bit ago. And so he already sees her as a woman who is noble and loyal, and he appreciates that about her. So I think that's a good observation to make. Study with Friends is here to help you read and understand God's Word at every stage of your spiritual growth. Because we are listener-supported, this ministry happens when we allow God to move His money among His people to do His work. Would you prayerfully consider joining us as we reach hearts with God's Word? This month, we're praying that 100 listeners would make a commitment of just $10 per month. Is that something you could do? Just $10 per month goes a long way, because we're an all-volunteer organization. So all donations go directly to the cost of teaching God's Word on air and online. Please consider a donation of just $10 a month. You can set up monthly giving at our website, studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We believe in the importance of your local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday services and a small group Bible study, please find one. Be discerning. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. See you next time on Study with Friends.